Our final story is about the king of the mathematical constants, pi. Pi, or to give it a more precise definition, the constant derived by dividing a circle's circumference by its diameter, has been around for thousands of years and has played a very important role in the development of mathematics. So much so that it almost seems to be a sacred object. That's why it was such a surprise when I stumbled upon an article written by Professor Bob Pillay, then at the University of Utah and currently at Utah Valley University, entitled Pi is Wrong. This was so unexpected, in fact, that I had to get him on the phone so he could explain himself. Is pi not 3.14 and so on?
Oh, pi absolutely is 3.14 and so on. The problem is that that's not the right number that would be the most useful and natural. The most common use of pi is the reference to angles in terms of full turns of a circle. People have trouble with trigonometry because they measure a right angle, which in our reference pi 3.14, to pi over 2. And if you ask the average, even scientifically informed person on the street, what's 90 degrees in radians, they'll say, oh, I don't remember. But if you ask anyone what 15 minutes is, they'll say it's a quarter of an hour. So there's the discrepancy. Pi over 2 for a quarter of an hour. It is a kind of a disconnect and a cognitive dissonance that I think makes one of the most beautiful areas of mathematics, trigonometry, and all the circular functions seem a little bit less natural. And because of that, I think we lose a lot of people very early in math because we try and tell them this is the most beautiful thing in the world and it's got a little bit of a kind of a problem with it. And there's so many articles that talk about how perfect and eternally beautiful pi is and all this wonderful stuff. And I just couldn't resist having a little contrary point of view that pi is wrong. Really, my entire motivation is to make things more understandable for students and colleagues when I'll do any more standard math. Conveying the main ideas is important. And I think pi, the pi 3.14, detracts from conveying ideas.
So what kind of brought on the insight to you that this constant that we've been using, that we've been teaching to people for so long, and literally thousands of years at this point, that it wasn't actually the one that we should be using?
Well, to me, I know the exact moment that I noticed it. It was while giving a test in class, in a calculus class. But I do have to say that although most people have stuck with pi for hundreds of years and more, several people have thought of this before. Someone found in Fred Hoyle's astronomy book, very classic astronomy book, he talks about measuring things in turns, which were our full revolution. But the moment it occurred was in the class because I wanted to make my exams be easy to answer without a calculator. So I had the answer turn out to be sine of pi over 2, even though the answer was sine of pi over 2, which is 1, which people should know from circle diagrams. I would see all my students going to their calculators and plugging in pi over 2 sine. I'm saying, why can't they see that sine of pi over 2, that pi over 2 is this, making a right angle with my fingers, my thumb out to the right and my pointer straight up. And I looked at that and said, why don't you see that this is pi over 2? And I kept looking at it. And I said, wait a minute, that's not half, that's a quarter. It's a quarter of an hour. It's the exact symbol you'd make if you were trying to show someone 3 o'clock or something, or 15 minutes, a quarter of an hour. So now when we talk about 270 degrees, three quarters of a turn, what do we call it next with our old pi? 3 pi over 2. So So he'd say, I'm going to be there in three halves of half an hour. The more I look into things, the more I see places where 6.28 works out much more nicely as the right number. If we just got rid of symbols and just put in numbers, circumference is 6.28R, and so forth, we'd see that that was the number that came up more often and more naturally. We like pi. I think we're all very fond of pi. Pi is great. It just wasn't the right number for simplicity and beauty and to show the real essence of the beauty of circles. I don't think I'm the world expert on pi necessarily, but I just made a pedagogical observation that maybe a reason that our students have trouble is that measuring angles in terms of half turns is really unnatural and unmathematical. There is a possible solution by giving a symbol to 6.28. I had an idea of having a circle icon with a radius rather than a diameter. My father's suggested that two pies joined together at the middle, so a three-legged pie. Most recently, various people have proposed using tau for 2 pi, for 6.28, for the circle constant, and referring everything to the symbol tau. And that actually has caught on much more, thanks to Michael Hartle's Tau Manifesto.
My name is Michael Hartle, and I am the founder of Tau Day and the author of the Tau Manifesto.
So I was wondering, Michael, why or how you kind of first came to realize and to understand that pi is useless.
Well, I wouldn't quite go so far as saying pi is useless, but it's certainly confusing. And I think I suspected this for a long time, but what really crystallized it was reading the paper that I mentioned in the Tau Manifesto called Pi is Wrong by Robert Pillay, who's a mathematician at the University of Utah. So I read that paper shortly after it came out in 2001, and it was clear to me at that point that his argument was basically right. What's wrong with pi is that circles are fundamentally about their radii and not their diameters. So the number that characterizes a circle is its radius. A circle is the set of all points a given distance, the radius, from the center. Diameters are not a particularly important geometric idea with respect to circles. If you write things in polar coordinates, for example, or if you want to come up with a succinct definition of a circle, it's extremely cumbersome, sometimes impossible to use the diameter instead of the radius. So that suggests that C over D, which is just C over 2R, might have a factor of 2 difference from the more convenient notation, which is C over R. So the tau is my proposed notation for the number C over R. And if you do a little math, you can see that C over R is just a 2 C over 2R, which is 2 C over D, which is 2 pi. So numerically, tau is 6.283185, et cetera. Probably the most severe problem in the elementary curriculum is the case of radian angle measure, because the idea of radians, which involves comparing the arc length of a circle to the radius of a circle in order to define angle, leads naturally to the notion of a full turn. That is to say, the radian angle measure of a full circle. And that number is 2 pi when written in the traditional notation. The problem with that is that if you start to define the angle measure for certain fractions of a circle, say an eighth of a circle, that has radian angle measure 2 pi over 8, but the 2 cancels because there's an even number in the denominator, and you end up with pi over 4. So an eighth of a turn is a fourth of a pi. A quarter of a turn, which is a right angle, is a half a pi, and so on. But if you write these angles in terms of tau, there's nothing to memorize. An eighth of a turn is just tau over 8. A quarter of a turn is tau over 4. A half a turn is tau over 2. And a full turn is just tau. So there's nothing to remember. You can just say, well, I know a right angle is a quarter of a full turn, and so it must be tau over 4 radians.
Now, there's all these examples in mathematics of what people consider to be beautiful equations where pi is a part of them. So what would changing to tau instead of pi do to something like, say, Euler's formula?
Well, the Euler's formula itself is actually e to the I theta equals cosine theta plus I sine theta. And the special case of theta equals pi is usually called Euler's identity, and that says that e to the I pi equals negative 1, which is usually rearranged right away to form e to the I pi plus 1 equals 0. Put in tau instead, there you see that you get e to the I tau equals 1. I mean, to me, that looks nicer. Like, what is e to the I pi equals negative 1? There's a negative sign that requires being rearranged. The real way to appreciate that is to realize that complex exponentiation corresponds to rotations in the complex plane. You multiply a complex number z by e to the I theta, it's the same as just rotating that number in the complex plane by an angle theta. So you can see that e to the I tau equals 1 is telling you that the complex exponential of the circle constant of one turn is equal to 1. If you rotate by one turn, you just get back to where you were. It's the same as multiplying by the multiplicative identity. E to the I pi equals negative 1 is telling you that multiplying by half a turn is the same as multiplying by negative 1.
That's all fine and good, but what about something like the area of a circle, which is nice and clean as it is? Wouldn't we be introducing fractional numbers if we replace pi with tau in that case?
It looks that way if at first glance, but if you look at the way that the area of a circle is actually derived, it involves a factor of half. Look at the original proof by Archimedes, which showed that the area of a circle is equal to the area of a right triangle with base equal to the circumference and height equal to the radius. So the area of a triangle like that is 1/2 base times height, which is 1/2 circumference times radius, and circumference is equal to tau r, so that you get, in that case, 1/2 tau r squared. If you use calculus, you see it in a different way. You can break up a disk into circular rings and integrate over all the rings, and what you get in that case is the integral from 0 up to the final radius of tau r dr, which is equal to 1/2 tau r squared. No matter how you approach it, there's a factor of a half that comes from naturally from the derivation. Using pi r squared obscures that relationship. And indeed, if you look at the derivations in those cases, you have t equals 2 pi r. There's that factor of 2, and it cancels against the half. So what's really going on is it looks like it's pi r squared, but it's really 1/2 2 pi r squared. And it's the 2 pi that's fundamental.
I was wondering, what brought you to writing the Tau Manifesto in the first place?
There are a whole bunch of different reasons. Probably the most important is that it was just a tremendous amount of fun. I saw an opportunity to make something that I thought was really cool, and then I thought other people would also think is cool. What happened is that Bob Pollet's article got quite a lot of attention on various social news sites like Reddit and Hacker News, and I could see that there was an opportunity that was in the air. People knew about this, but it hadn't become a movement. And one of the things I'm interested in is learning how to build an audience and how to really connect with an audience. I saw that there was this thing out there, and I thought I knew why it hadn't taken off. I thought a big part of the problem was that the notation wasn't quite right, that the notation that Bob proposed was very difficult to typeset. I also thought that it would be good to have a focus for this idea. So that's how I came up with Tau Day, this idea that instead of Pi Day, we should be celebrating Tau Day instead. So it really was an experiment in making something cool and seeing if I could find an audience.
What sort of reaction have you had to this whole thing?
Well, the reaction from the mathematical community has been more or less muted, but the general reaction from the broader sort of mathematically interested public has been overwhelming. The Tau Manifesto website on any given holiday, like Tau Day or Pi Day, gets, tens of thousands of visits. It's got over 3,000 likes on Facebook. I get email about it all the time. The MIT admissions office made a blog post before, in advance of their admissions decisions in March, with like little illustrations of the two warring tribes, the Pi tribe and the Tau tribe. Traditionally, MIT has released their admissions decisions on Pi Day. This year, they released them on Pi Day at Tau time. So it's 6:28 on 3:14. Gotten to the point where in any decently sized room of math or computer or science geeks, the chances are really high that somebody there knows about the Tau Manifesto.
I mean, a lot of this has to do with Pi not really being a very useful constant in many ways. So how do you see that, or how would you suggest maybe making that switch? How can we go from a constant that's probably not defined in the right way to a constant that is.
I'm not proposing a change in any sort of convention. It's not like we're switching from charge carriers being positive to charge carriers being negative. This is an extra piece of notation. It's an addition to the set of mathematical constants. And so as a result, any change you make can happen incrementally. Start by using tau in your own calculation. If you want to write a paper, you can just say we work in terms of tau equals c over r equals 2 pi and proceed from there. In fact, I got an email a couple months ago from a master's degree student in Europe who got permission from his committee to use tau in his mathematics master's thesis. So there are people using it, and I think that as time goes on, more and more people will take that approach. They'll just say, you know what, I'm just going to use tau in my calculations.
Well, Michael, this has been really good. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
I just have one last thing to ask you here. For such a long time, people have viewed pi as being, as you said, just this beautiful, amazing little bit of mathematics. And also, since it's the circle constant, and a circle is a very natural sort of shape, we've long thought that every different alien civilization in the entire universe would probably also have the digits of pi. And so one of the ways of contacting these aliens has been to send out the digits of pi. What would your opinion be of the probable reaction of an alien race if they intercepted 3.14 and so on and so forth?
I think there'd be raucous laughter and then a big discussion of whether they should maybe avoid this planet, because the people there obviously are very dogmatic and not open to thinking about new things. So we brag to the universe about our intelligence by sending out, they were thinking about, why are they sending out half the circle constant? Well, a friend of mine pointed out that if we are lucky enough, we sent it out in binary, and then we just got the binary point off by one. So maybe we got lucky and they're thinking it was just a typo, and they really know where things are at.
Oh, Professor Pillay, it's been an honor speaking with you. It's been a lot of fun.
It's been a lot of fun. It's been an honor speaking with you, and best of luck with your project.